Hello everyone, welcome to Toonami Therapy, today on October 28th of 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about one show that aired on Toonami, because Fena was the only series they aired other than some Batman movies that we didn't watch, because it was a two-part thing and we didn't want to like stay up until, how late did they go? 4 o'clock in the morning?
Something like that.
All right. So, yeah. So, but we've still got the non-Toonami anime we cover, and we're also going to be, we also watched the second rebuild of Evangelion movie. This time we actually made sure to watch the same dub, so we got the same experience.
Yep.
The one on Amazon Prime, for whatever that's worth. But we'll be getting into that later. First, though, I think we should probably get into the 12th and final episode of Fena Pirate Princess. So, in this episode, this is a part where I summarize it. I'm not sure exactly what happened. here is what I think happened. So a guy shows up and tells them that he's the observer or the storyteller, something like that. And he does a bunch, talks a bunch about stuff. And apparently, Fena is going to decide whether the world is destroyed or not for some reason. Because if she doesn't, then maybe everyone would, all the other characters would die, because there's a vision of that. And then she does the result of it is is that she loses her memory of all this stuff, and now she has black hair for some reason. And then she meets up with the other characters and they're like, hey, and she's like, I don't remember you. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll hang out. And then I guess Yukimaru and Fena get together or something. And that was the episode.
Yeah. The word that was in my mind the whole time was sappy. Like, it just felt like very sappy, this whole thing about, oh, Fena's going to give up her life in order to save the world. And then she didn't really give up her life. She just gave up her memories and her color of her hair. And then she's back, and then everyone, you know, everyone's perfectly fine. And we get to see all these characters who had potential but never realized it, because we were so obsessed with this Fena and Shikamaru thing that Yukimaru. What did I just say?
You said Shikamaru.
What's that from, Naruto?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, it was pretty sappy. And then it kind of felt as if nothing really mattered. It was just like she could just make that decision that, okay, I'm going to give up my memory so that the world doesn't end. And that's it.
Yeah, it was. So it's funny because I think last time I was saying, wow, this is feeling like those last episodes of Evangelion. Oh boy, did this episode feel like those last episodes. Like, I meant it kind of jokingly, but this time it really did. Insofar, it felt so disconnected from everything that happened before. And being kind of confusing and just dumping all this stuff on us. Although, man, I haven't seen Evangelion, like the original series, in forever. I wonder what I would think of those last two episodes if I were to watch them now, because I remember liking them up until the end, where I was like, wait, what happened? There's no conclusion. They just say congratulations. But, sorry, Fena. It just, just we get all this stuff dumped on us that, like, about, oh, she has to choose whether to destroy the world. And I'm like, okay, I'll admit, maybe I missed stuff because this wasn't a show I was the most heavily into, but I don't remember setup for that at all.
Yeah, I don't know why we got from a treasure hunt to all of a sudden Fena decides the fate of the universe. And it's like, it doesn't really make sense that they're doing that. So, yeah, these last two episodes, you're right that they are weird in a similar way to Evangelion, but not quite, because Evangelion was on paranoia agent levels of trolling there. So,
well, yeah. Evangelion had the excuse that they just ran out of money and had to just go with, like, that was the thing. I think at the end they weren't even able to pay the animators. They just had to tell them, okay, when the show comes out and the money starts coming in, we'll pay you then. Which is why they just had to use all those cost-saving measures and throw out their original plans. And later on, we did get End of Evangelion as more of an actual ending, although I had my own problems. I had completely different problems with that.
I love the End of Evangelion. I wonder if the final Evangelion movie is going to be as good as that one was.
I didn't really care for it that much. It was, I don't know. I'd have to watch it again. I just remember, we're talking about Evangelion instead of Fena, but might as well. Well, I thought the ending was kind of needlessly, I know it's kind of a dark show, but it still was, I would have preferred it to be less depressing. And also I felt it was kind of padded out and some parts of it were confusing, but, I don't know. Maybe if I were to rewatch the whole thing again, I'd have a different opinion. But there was one other thing, though, that this episode and kind of even the previous two ones sort of reminded me of. It's so you don't really read manga much, but basically the way the thing works in Japan is, you know, you've got these manga magazines and each of them has, you know, like maybe 10 to 20 series running in them. And, you know, they're bringing in every, like, several months, they'll bring in some new series. But to make room for that, they have to get rid of some series. So they just cancel whatever are the least popular series in the magazine. It's, you know TV by the numbers. It's the cancellation bear.
All right.
And when they do that, they tell the, like, series, okay, you are being canceled. You have 5 chapters to wrap things up. Go. And that, of course, normally happens to new series that usually this is happening to newer series. So there's all these series that, like, you know, didn't last very long. They only, like, waited to, like, maybe 16 episodes or, sorry, chapters or something. And some of them, when they get this, can do it a bit more gracefully, reach a conclusion. But a lot of them, it's just like a switch suddenly is pressed, and things that were presumably supposed to be revealed over the course of dozens or hundreds of chapters suddenly are compressed into 5. Mm-hmm. And, like, they just had to suddenly get all, like, skip to the conclusion, get all these reveals out of there. And that's what this kind of felt like. Which is weird, because that, I assume that didn't happen here, but it feels very much like they were expecting that they would have a lot more episodes to set things up, and then all of a sudden they get told, sorry, you've only got a few episodes, and like, oh, well, okay, and then they just introduced all of this stuff out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels so disconnected from the rest of the series is my problem. The whole, like, the stuff that led up to this does not seem like it had any relation to this whole destroy the world or don't destroy it thing.
Yeah. I guess it was kind of like Picard having a choice of what to do at the end of the series, and the only solution is for all the enterprises to go into the thing and blow up, and that's the only way to save humanity. So
I mean, kind of, but well, that, you know, that was like actually in the episode itself set up and such. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
That's my point. It just feels like we suddenly turned into a different show because what happened before doesn't matter at the end. Like, you know, I never played it, but I heard that was a complaint one of the complaints everyone had about Mass Effect 3. They complained that you make all these choices and stuff throughout the game, and then at the end of the game, like, none of that ends up mattering. It's the only thing that matters is a final choice you make.
Really?
Wow. I have not played. Look, I have not played that game. I don't know. I've just heard that was a very frequent complaint, that it was that the game, like the previous ones, had all these like different choices you could make, but then in the end, it just kind of comes down to, hey, you have this one choice here, and that will determine the ending. And that's what I heard was like one of the complaints about the end that day, that it was like that. So
correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about Mass Effect, is that it?
Yeah, Mass Effect.
Is there a character named Kasumi in that? Or am I thinking of something else?
I can't. Look, I haven't played the games. I'm just going by what I've heard.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you played them. Okay.
No, I said I hadn't played them, but maybe you misheard.
Yeah, I did. Them. I misheard.
Okay. But yeah, that's what I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of at the point where I'm repeating myself, but
right,
it just wasn't very satisfying as a conclusion. And if we look at the show as a whole, we might as well, like I said, we just kind of had the stuff and it didn't really, it led to here, but it didn't really lead to here. It didn't logically go here. That's the problem. And so.
Yeah, just in case you're wondering, yeah, that is the character I was thinking of. But that's not important. So, yeah. Just a really weird. I felt like, on the whole, this series has like so much potential if it had focused on like the pirate thing. You know, it's called Pirate Princess, and we really don't get much piracy or princess, you know. Mm-hmm. We just kind of get this sappy love story between Yukimaru and Fena, even though Yukimaru looks old enough to be her father, and these other characters who are on the ship, they really don't even matter. Like, I mean, I was expecting we were going to get like some real character development. That never happened. And these other characters just kind of, they're just there. It was disappointing in a lot of ways. I don't know. I'm going to give it maybe a 4 or 5 out of 10. I'll have to see what
Yeah. I mean, there were some good things, like, you know, like some of the fight stuff was kind of cool to look at, but there was just, it did not seem like there was, you know what? This is what is the problem. It does not seem like there's a plan for this series.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of goes from thing to thing without it feeling like there's much of a payoff. And as people like pointed out, so they had that other pirate crew who all get destroyed by the super cannonball or whatever, except some of them are seen in this episode. So I don't know if Fena's thing brought them back or if they survived somehow or what happened there. But when you get down to it, why were they in the show? What role did they actually serve? they kind of menace and capture Fenna, but you could have just had Abel's men, like minions, do that instead. There was no need to bring them in at all when you get down to it. So that was something, you know, they got introduced to them, spent time with them, but then they don't end up really mattering.
Yeah.
And then we have this stuff at the end that just comes here, like without setup. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like there is a real vision for this series. And I've seen some people say,
it's like a fanfic, you know, like, you know, fanfic goes, you have all these ideas and then you put them out there and then it's like, crap, I got to make another chapter. and then it takes like 6 months to make your next chapter because you don't have anywhere, you don't have any idea where you were going with it before. And so it ends up, you know, kind of like Hunter Hunter has.
This is why I say to anyone listening, if you plan to write a fanfic, if it's going to be a before you post anything, have at least 10,000 words ready to go. To like show to yourself, yes, I have enough investment in this to write this much, so there's a better chance that I'll be able to see it through to the end. And, you know, if it's a series that's not going to be that long, then just write the whole thing. 5,000, 6,000, or 100 if you want to make it a short fic. But that doing that, making sure that you can get that far will at least make sure that it will increase the chances. This won't be like, you know, a one chapter thing where you just don't do anything else with it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I saw some people say is it feels kind of like an anime by committee in that, like the lack of direction, which would kind of make some sense if, you know, you got too many cooks in dealing with it. Yeah, that song, too many cooks. I bet you thought you got that out of your head, but it's back. Anyway, so yeah, on the whole, just kind of a disappointing series that just felt disjointed. I mean, there were some things in it I liked, but I'm hoping that their next series will manage to fit together better. Because this one was actually done by Adult Swim and Crunchyroll. So I'm hopefully their next thing that I think they were going to be showing will be better. Oh, it looks like we've got some, it looks like they have the new schedule thing posted.
They do?
So we've got the Fenna marathon this weekend. Then it looks like the week after that, we've got two episodes of My Hero Academia. Then we've got Yashahime, Food Wars, and then a bunch of... And, well, we don't really watch the stuff after this, but that would be Naruto, Fenna reruns, Dr. Stone reruns, Dragon Ball Super reruns, and then some shorts, like stuff that's in the final thing. So,
So we get an extra hour. And we don't really get anything out of it. We just get extra reruns. Like, it's, way to go. Way to take advantage of it.
The way I said it, the simpler way is I think it's basically what we had before, except the first Fenna is being replaced with an episode of My Hero Academia. That's basically it, except, oh yeah, there's no Black Clover anymore. So,
yeah.
So we got that. I don't know. They'll probably put something else after that, but I don't think they've announced it, what we'll get after that. I'm just looking at this. I just saw this, so I guess we'll know better next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's our overly convoluted and rambling thoughts on Fenna. So let's move on to the other stuff. So we have Fate Zero, Episode 10. So let's see. Do you want to do this one, or am I doing?
Wow, we're already on episode 10. Man, it's flown by. Yeah, a lot of this had to do with a character named Rin Tosaka, and basically her ability to use magic to do stuff with gems, I guess, and I guess she's able to use her magic abilities to help save people, I guess. I don't know if I'm getting it right, but yeah, so it was a whole bunch of background story about her, which is important because, well, as you can see from the merchandise, he's a rather important figure in the Fate universe. And
she's like the main girl of Unlimited Blade Works.
Yeah, so yeah, I love that we got backstory of her, even though I was kind of confused on it the whole way. I was like, what is this, you know, how is, like, I didn't understand how it worked aside, you know, like the servants and stuff, and like her power was kind of like different from that. But that's what we got in this episode. We didn't really get as much with the Holy Grail War, but that's okay.
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is exactly when this it took place. Did this happen earlier, or was it something or did it happen now chronologically? Because I think this happened earlier, because in like the first or second episode, her father sent her away, and in this episode, he was saying, "I'm going to send you away," so yeah. You know, for safety. So this must have happened before, hand. Yeah, because she ends up kind of facing, I still can't remember his name, crazy evil guy.
yeah, that guy.
And managing to beat and escape from him. So I don't know exactly when this was, but yeah, so it focuses on her. Unfortunately, since I knew that she was a character in Fate Stay Night, and I also knew she was the main character of Unlimited Blade Works, because Saber was the main in the first Fate Stay Night anime, and then Sakura is the main one in Heaven's Feel. She was the one who was getting, you know, basically, she was the one who was like, you know, basically being tortured by the worms in the first episode. So Sakura, I mean, yeah. And then like the guy who from that episode was like saying, "I'm going to do this stuff because I'm going to save her from this terrible training stuff she's been doing." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that guy was a character, wasn't he? He just hasn't really done anything since then."
Yeah.
So yeah, this episode was definitely useful in that it did make me look up some like stuff and refresh my memory, and like, "Oh, okay, so that's who this character was, and that's how that was. Okay, now things are making a little more sense." Too many of the characters look kind of similar to me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, this was something that I'm sure would mean more to someone who has seen the original anime or played the game. But it was still enjoyable decently, even if although if someone didn't, at least as I know, "Oh, this character is important," they might be wondering, "Why did we stop for an episode to focus on this character?"
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see, anything else okay. So that was Fate Zero. And we got 86, episode 6. So the first half of this episode is basically, well, maybe not half, but maybe first third or whatever, is a flashback. It feels kind of pointless, honestly. It doesn't even like, it, and it was, and it's confusing because I don't think it clearly states it's a flashback at the start. You just kind of have to work that out.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get through that, we then have them fight a battle in which some people die. But don't worry, it's all characters you don't really know anything at all about.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that. The big, let's see. And then we find out also that they're going to have to go and attack the, like, a Legion, not Legion. Was that the name of them? I think that's the Legion. Yeah, those are the enemy robots. The Legion base, but it'll probably be a trap. So, yeah, that was basically the episode.
Yep.
I thought this was kind of a letdown from the previous one, because I was thinking, okay, we've got like a real goal for the series, we can start moving towards it. But then this one this episode felt kind of like stuff that didn't really matter that much.
Well, yeah, I'm just still confused about, like, we had that scene where Lena was, like, arguing with someone else who is part of her, I don't know, you know, the silver-haired people. I forget what they're called.
Albas.
Albas, is that it?
A-L-B-A, yes, Alba.
Alba, okay, got it. So, basically, oh, like albino. Okay, that makes sense. Speak of albinos, you know who's a real albino? Alice Nockery from Food Wars. Yeah, I just had to name drop her for a moment there. But anyway, I'm a little confused as to, like, what is her plan now that she's sympathetic to the 86? You know, like, is there a plan to liberate them, or is it just going to be, like, her crying and getting upset every time one of them gets killed or whatever, you know?
I think what her essential goal right here is that, well, if the 86 people, if they serve in the army for, like, some number of years, then yay, they can become a citizen and things are all great for them. So I think the idea for her is, well, there's two things. First, the Legion is a legitimate, like, danger to everyone. They need to be stopped. In terms of trying to help the 86, I think her goal is basically just, well, I'll try to make it so they don't die in battles. And then if they live through this war, then they can rejoin society or something. Although I'm not sure how exactly they'll be able to do that when everyone seems to hate them. But, you know, baby steps.
Yeah.
So that's that. But yeah, this episode just kind of mostly felt unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we've got that. I guess the one other thing to mention is, I can't remember her name. The scientist girl that Lena is always, like, hanging out with, who has a gag about how she keeps having all these guys fall in love with her that she doesn't, and she doesn't like any of them. There's a part where she's saying, well, if a pararaid, if something weird happens between, like, the handler and the, what are they even called again? I can remember handler, but I can't remember what the 86 who are actually working under them are called. I can't remember, but basically they say that if the abnormal thing that happened with her. And she's like, oh, well, that happens. What happened? He said, oh, well, they kill the 86 person and dissect them and then transfer the other person, the handler. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I thought that was supposed to have happened, that weird sort of reaction thing to multiple people before in charge of this unit. So did no one know that was what happened? Because Shin's clearly still there. You know, he hasn't been dissected or anything, so.
And I'm trying to look up what you were saying. Processors? I don't know.
That's it. Processor. That's it. You're right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Processor. That's what they're called. I've just been calling them the 86, so. Okay. So, yeah, there's that. Yeah, so that was 86. I'm hoping things will get back more on track in the next episode.
Yeah.
Then we've finally got episode 2 of And You Thought There Is Never a Girl Online.
Yeah, so whereas most of the last episode took place in the game world, most of this episode takes place in the real world, but Akko is having a very difficult time distinguishing fantasy from reality, which okay, I know it's supposed to be funny, but I find this funny for like the wrong reasons. And, like, it's actually pretty sad that she can't distinguish between things in the video games and things in real life. And it's, like, actually shouldn't be made to be a joke. It actually should be serious. But since I'm laughing about it, you know, it's like, it's unintentional, intentional humor, I guess. So basically the goal is that they're going to try to get her to become a functioning member of society again and hopefully not think that the main character is actually her husband, even though we are pretty sure that if I don't know how long this, whether this was a manga or whatever, but obviously they would get together in the end. You know that. So really, the thing of trying to get them to not be a married couple is going to just delay the inevitable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a light novel, and the light novel's finished. I thought it was still going on, but no, it ended last year. So, none of it has been officially translated to English. And I think if you look online for fan translations, only the first 7 are available. So, there's a manga, but there's a manga based on the light novel, but I don't know how far it goes into it. It lasted, I don't know, it looks like 8 volumes. The series. Yeah, it is weird because I'm thinking, like, if you can't actually distinguish between the game and real life, and I don't mean like even the thing about getting overly obsessed with him being, because like, okay, you like think, oh, he's my husband in the game, he likes me in real life, you know, that's like the kind of normal thing you could get, but we're talking about like they even say she can't distinguish, which is why she refers to everyone with their game names and stuff, and I'm like, that's actually, it seems like a legitimate problem. Yeah. That the series doesn't seem to really be going with. The solution is that they're setting up a club at school or something. I don't know exactly how that's supposed to do things, but So yeah, this was, I don't really know about this episode. It kind of felt like, I'm not really sure what the show is about. Like, we've got this. So is it going to be, oh, we're going to be helping this person, different, be better, like differentiated between reality and games? Or is it just going to be like a game, like them about playing the games? Or I don't know. That's the thing. I'm still kind of confused about what the actual premise or purpose of the series is.
Yeah, I think based on what I've read, that it is about trying to get her to go back to normal life. It's just that, like you said, it's if that's really the case, then that's not really funny. That's actually really bad. But since I get humor in that, then that kind of makes it what I like to call intentional, unintentional comedy.
Let's see. Okay. All right, that's those stuff. I guess then we'll move on to the rebuild of Evangelion. Well, wait, did you have anything else to say about it?
No. Nope.
Okay, Evangelion 2.0. Well, 2.22, because that's like, you know, the thing that was released on DVD and Amazon and anything else it's on. What is Evangelion 2? You can not advance with not being parenthetical. So I'm not sure how that's actually supposed to be pronounced. Like, because the not means is like, is that supposed to mean it's like ambiguous as to whether the not is there or not? But I don't know. Well, it's Evangelion 2.0. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you want me to do this one again?
Yeah.
Okay, so we continue on from the previous movie, whereas the previous movie was just the first, I can't remember exactly, 7 episodes or so compressed into a movie. This one, well, it still follows the show in, like, the broad strokes, but it's more different in the specifics. Like, you know, you have the usual stuff. Oh, Asuka shows up and she joins up with them and they fight the angels. And there's that one that's falling towards Earth and and the three of them have to work together to beat it in the same way. We get that kind of stuff. It skips over some of them, yeah. Actually.
It does.
The one from the episode, I mostly just remember the episode just because of its name, though. Both of you dance like you want to win.
Right.
Like that angel isn't here. I think there are some other ones that were skipped over. Mm-hmm. We do get to, last time I mentioned that something that happened to a different character happened to Asuka instead. That's in this episode. So we have the whole thing where the angel takes control of the Evangelion and then, and Shinji doesn't want to fight it because, you know, there's someone inside it. And Gendo kind of like turns on, he calls the dummy system and forces him to attack and ends up, you know, really hurting the person. Well, in the series, it was Toji who just gets really damaged. But this time they had to be Asuka instead. There's that. Yeah, so then ultimately, the something weird happens to the Evangelion after. Oh yeah, because well, first Shinji, liking the show, runs off after, like, decides to quit after that. But then he comes back. But and the Evangelion starts to. I don't know what was going on, but people are saying, oh, it's going to be starting Third Impact. Except then, Except in a post-credit scene, because, hey, this came out after Iron Man, and you got to start having those.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing just gets stopped by Kaworu showing up and, you know, just throwing a spear down there and says, like, I will make Shinji happy this time, so, or something like that. So, Yeah, that was the the movie, basically. You know, there's also a bunch of like character stuff that went on, but it all was kind of, it was kind of rushed through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they introduce a new character.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot to mention that. That's a big thing. For some reason, I was just focused so much on what it took from the show. Yeah, they introduced Mari. I think that's her name. She's like a new Ava pirate. Pilot. Not pirate. This isn't fast. And she kind of helps out with some stuff. So, yeah, she's... Yeah, that's right.
I think that opening sequence is like made to make you think that that's Asuka, and then it, you know, because that's what I don't like about her. I find her character to be superfluous, or however you pronounce that.
I think it's superfluous.
Yeah, superfluous. She is just like another Asuka, and it's like, we already have Asuka. We don't need another Asuka. We already have someone who loves to pilot the Ava and gets a thrill out of it. I mean, well, why do we need another girl like that? And she really doesn't have much to do with the other characters. It just kind of felt like, okay, she's here too. And, you know, like, honestly, what it feels like is like a real money grab of trying to sell more figures to people who already have their fill of Rey and Asuka figures, so now they gotta get Mari figures. But by the way, Mari was the name, if I'm not mistaken, of this girl in a different Evangelion thing. What was it called? Man, I don't remember it now. Girlfriend of Steel, was that it? Yeah, Girlfriend of Steel. And there was a totally different girl named Mari. And basically, it was like kind of like a dating simulator where, like, you find out whether Shinji ends up with her or Asuka, or I don't know what the other choice was. It was like kind of like a... It
looks like, I'm looking at Girlfriend of Steel, it looks like the character is, her name is Mana?
Oh, that's it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, going back to the movie, I don't really understand why Mari was in this series. I thought that this was better than the first one, especially given that it, you know, kind of made its own decisions and didn't just follow the anime the whole way. But the problem, my biggest problem, here's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing was I love that scene where Rey stops Asuka from slapping her in the elevator. That was a really nice twist. I really liked that. But also, I felt like Asuka was just given the shaft pretty much because, you know, in the original series, she has a very big character arc over the course of her 15, 16 episodes, you know, when she comes in episode 7, I think it was, and she, by the end of the show, you really feel a connection to her, whereas this movie didn't really endear her to the audience. So, so there are some disappointments with it. Overall, I thought it was pretty good, though.
Yeah, in fairness to both of the points you brought up, though, like, you know, Mari not really getting, like, much development or seeming to have much of a point, and Asuka kind of not getting that, getting sort of reduced. I mean, we do have two more movies.
Yeah.
So that, so we could definitely be seeing more on that later on. I just feel, though, but yeah, in this movie, I'm just left wondering, why was Mari here? She does just kind of seem to be another Asuka, and doesn't really even seem to contribute much to the plot. So, like, maybe she'll have more to do in the next two movies, and this was just necessary to make her, like, get an introduction. But at least in, I just wish we had a little more about her personality other than, hey, I like fighting. I'm like, okay, can we have something more than that? Yeah. And the other stuff, like this, I'm always saying this whole episode has been me comparing things to other things, but this kind of felt a little bit like the way Akame ga Kill, the anime, compared to the manga. It's like last, I don't know, like maybe seven episodes or something are like, follow the ending of the manga. Well, the manga ending hadn't come out yet, but the anime is clearly based on plans that the author had. But it, like, goes through stuff way faster, and while a lot the broad strokes are the same, a lot of the specifics are different. So, and also, more importantly, are all compressed. And this kind of felt a little like that, in that, okay, we got the same basic plot, except it's very much in broad strokes, but some of the specifics are different, and it's all compressed. And just like that, the compression hurts the series. Like, we just skip through stuff. Like, there's like at least three or four scenes where a character that basically served to have a character either exposit about themselves and their personality or that of another character for the benefit of the audience, because, you know, you can't it's hard, you don't have as much time to develop that as in the, like, TV show, so you just got to have it all be said. Like the one where, like, Asuka, I think, is talking to Misato, and she just goes on this, like, you know, before she ends, her Eva ends up getting, like, you know, taken over and stuff. And she's saying, well, and just, like, basically said, well, here's my backstory, and here's how I've changed in personality over the course of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically says that. Yeah. One other thing, I'm just noticing when I watch this movie and think about the original series, Gendo, like, you know, he's supposed to be, like, the manipulator, the smart guy. He comes, when you look at it, a lot of his decisions seem really stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not sure, are we supposed to see it that way or not? Like, so the other Evangelion gets taken over by the angel and has to be beaten, but Shinji doesn't want to do it because Asuka, or in the original series, Toji is there. And Gendo, rather than, you know, trying to at least sort of explain, like, give him a reasonable argument for what to do, he says, like, you could say, look, if you don't fight back, they'll just die anyway, so you need to fight them if you want to have any hope of actually saving them. And instead of just, you know, doing that, he's just saying, it doesn't matter. That's an angel. You have to fight it. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's not very persuasive, Gendo.
Yeah.
And his, like, treatment of Shinji afterwards is, like, not very. And again, I know he's kind of a jerk, but you can at least, but it's still being stupid. And, you know, like, if not for Shinji deciding to come back after he left, which Gendo doesn't bother to try to, you know, convince him to stay at all, they would have all lost. So, like I said, I'm not sure if I'm trying to figure out what we're supposed to be thinking of Gendo in regards to that. But yeah. Let's see. The last comment is that they really focused multiple times on the fact that they're apparently in class 2A, which made me think, wow, it would be funny if there was like some sort of goofy parody thing where you had the cast of Baka and Test, like, have to like fight, like pilot the Avas or whatever. And I checked, there is not any crossovers listed between the two series on fanfiction.net, so don't.
I now need to check how many. Let's see, Baka Test has 460 and Evangelion checks in at 9,000 at least. So
yeah, I was looking specifically for like the crossovers.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So like I click on Bach and Test and then I look, okay, is Evangelion listed? No? Okay, that's that. So yeah, although there is crossovers with Bach, there are two fanfics that are crossovers between Bach and Test and Fate Stay Night. And four between it and Assassination Classroom, which actually makes some sense.
Yeah, I'm surprised there aren't more of that. But
I mean, it's not Bakken Test in terms of like the number of crossover fics listed. It's only 108. You know, it's not like a super popular series. So like you need to, the highest number of the anime that has the most crossover fics is Naruto at 36,000. In second place is Inuyasha with 9,000. Wow. So, yeah. So we got, I think that's, that for that. They did the elevator scene you mentioned. I like the way it did kind of, you mentioned, subvert things. Not just what you mentioned, but also the fact that it starts out with that thing where you just have Asuka and Rei just standing there. And, like, there's no movement at all. It just keeps that for a while, which went on for like what, half a minute in the original show, maybe longer.
Longer, I said.
Yeah. It starts like that, and you're just when you're starting to think, are they going to do this again? Then Asuka like just starts moving, and it goes on, and thinking, okay, that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
So a lot of this really has to add, we have to look for the rest. Like that was the thing we were mentioning. Like that's an obvious thing to me. The question of why is Mari here? She doesn't really seem important. So it's really going to rely on how they continue the series and whether she ends up better justifying her existence in the subsequent movies.
And how about that scene at the very end of the preview for next time, and you've got Gendo and the vice commander climbing up a mountain with goats. Like, what was that all about?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't even have, like, I don't think they'd even really started making the next movie when they had that. So they just presumably we're just throwing in stuff they thought would be in the next movie, but who knows if it actually will be. So next week we'll be watching the third movie. We're not sure when we'll get to the fourth. It might be then, or we might hold off on it because it is kind of long. So from what I have sorry, it is my understanding that the third movie, again, emphasis on my understanding, that the third movie wasn't thought of that well, but the fourth movie was considered pretty good, although I do know of some controversy over the ending, because it wouldn't be an Evangelion series without some controversy over the ending.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see what the third one is like. I've been vaguely spoiled on a few things, but nothing too extreme. So for the most part, I don't really know what happens in the third.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll check that out for next week, because there's going to be no Toonami. It's a Fena marathon.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else to say?
Well, we need to pick our top three.
Okay, right. In that one. You know...
I'll go first. The show that does not make the top three is Fena Pirate Princess. So that means that third place ends up being 86. Second place is... And You Thought There's Never a Girl Online. And first place is Fate Zero.
Though I was thinking about, just as like a joke, putting Fanny in first place, just because despite it not being very good, it was just so weird. I kind of liked it on that basis.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'll be genuine on here. Basically, what you said, just swap 86 and You Thought There Was Never a Girl Online.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so once again, yep, I guess that draws this to a close. Once again, next week we'll have the third rebuild of Evangelion movie, and our non-Toonami stuff, and yeah, that'll be it. There will be nothing from Toonami next week for us to discuss. But I guess that's it. We'll see you next week.
Bye.